Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Pensacola. Tonight we have an honor to be celebrating J.J. Jackson and Evelyn Jackson here after many, many days and weeks and months of not being able to attend. And both of them are here. J.J. is 91, and I'm not going to tell you about Evelyn's age. But J.J., if you would stand up and Evelyn would stand up and turn to the congregation and just let them wave to you. Long-time members of our congregation, and J.J. is quite a singer, so he has asked for Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So it's not in your hymnal. Just sing some word. It doesn't really matter. And our pianist is going to play.
Thank you, Nancy. That was an impromptu start to our service. Again, I welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Pensacola for our Christmas Eve service. Christmas is the best time because it is the kindest time. Nobody ever felt very happy without feeling very kind, and nobody felt very kind without feeling at least a little happy. So, of course, either way, about the happiest time is the kindest time. That's this time. In the spirit of this Christmas Eve service, I'm asking, please do not applaud, even though what you will be hearing is well-deserved. Take the opportunity to thank our singers and speakers at our little reception afterwards. We light our chalice. In the darkness of the night, we kindle our light. In the coldness of winter, we kindle our warmth. Despite sorrows we bear, we kindle our hope. With this chalice of wonder and joy, we rejoice that life and love are born again.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the hall, the UUs had gathered, children, friends, and all. The chalice was placed on the chancel with care, while holiday anthems filled up the air. The congregants listened, as the service was read. Is that better? The congregants listened as the service was read while they tried to chase headlines out of their heads. Christmas. Depending on your upbringing, culture, and perhaps your age, the happiest or the holiest or the most meaningful or the most glittering or the most commercial day of the year. For UUs whose spirituality is grounded in nature or the ancient traditions, or for those who lean toward the secular, this can also be a time of intense cognitive dissonance. Many of us were likely introduced as children through parents or through school to an array of carols, sacred and secular, some employing rather desperate end rhyming. These remain familiar to us, even if our understanding of things spiritual and religious has eclipsed our childhood experience of Christmas. How do we reconcile the contemporary understandings of our spirituality with the images and words of the holiday music of our youth? In my particular case, Christmas Eve for me as a child involved all of the family gathered around the table of my Polish Catholic grandmother. And my sister and I would vie for the honor of sitting next to the place reserved for the Christ child. This was a place set with an empty place set with straw underneath it. That was the sitting next to that was the place of honor. So in my thinking, I've come a distance from those times, and I'm sure others have as well. So when we think about how we reconcile these early understandings with where we are now, it becomes a question that I decided I would research a bit. Even though Unitarian Universalists have a very large tent in terms of the individual beliefs of people, there are shining examples of UUs who have contributed to a general understanding and elements of celebration at Christmas time. So I found a few of those, and I thought I would share them with you. The first is Charles Dickens. Dickens was a contemporary of Karl Marx, whose writings were quite different. And Dickens was a Unitarian. He witnessed the industrialization of Europe and the abject poverty of some people. And he used his writings to critique what he saw happening in society. Notable, he penned his observations in what we think of as the Christmas Carol, a play or the book. As the spirit in the Christmas Carol visited Scrooge, it presented him with images of illness and poverty and unremitting debt. Scrooge's transformation came not from salvation, but his realization that society was not equal or just, and that he had the power to make the world better and the lives of others better. Pure UU. With a little tikkun olam thrown in as well, repairing the world from Judaic traditions. His own life improved through an awakening of a social conscience. His recognition did not allude to deities or salvation or even the Protestant work ethic. The worth of his characters came from their being, not their doing. Dickens illustrates through Scrooge that even the seemingly incorrigible can be transformed from a self-centered worldview to one that values being part of the human community. Though this message was explicit, it was also subtle enough that it is entwined in a story enjoyed widely today throughout society. A couple other examples they found were musical. Edmund Hamilton Sears was pastor of a Unitarian church in Wayland, Mass., and was the writer of the lyrics of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear in 1849. Sears was a rabid abolitionist and a great advocate for peace, using his verse to express his views related to the U.S. war with Mexico. His original work included a verse we do not always hear or sing, but is very fitting now as it was a century and a half ago. As we see more than 65 million people displaced by violence and war worldwide. I won't sing it, but I will attempt to read it. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for glad and golden hours, come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Finally, Noel Regney, a Unitarian and a French-American songwriter, composed Do You Hear What I Hear in 1962, imploring people to pray for peace everywhere. Peace was on the minds of many in the U.S., as this was the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis. So after researching some of our historical contributions, I decided that perhaps those of us who are experiencing cognitive dissonance can find comfort in the perseverance of the universal messages that give value to justice, peace, and inclusiveness, and find both subtle and overt ways to share and articulate this message with others.
In lieu of what Pat just spoke about, please rise if you're able, and we will sing two verses of It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
So if you'll turn in your hymnal to reading number 621, the name of the reading is Why Not a Star, and it is a responsive reading. Oh, I'm sorry. Why not a star? They told me that when Jesus was born, a star appeared in the heavens above the place where the young child lay. When I was very young, I had no trouble believing wondrous things. I believed in the star. It was a wonderful miracle, part of a long-ago story, foretelling an uncommon life. They told me a supernova appeared in the heavens in its dying burst of fire. When I was older and believed in science and reason, I believed the story of the star explained. And I was unwilling to give up the star, fitting symbol for the birth of one whose uncommon life has been long remembered. The star explained became the star understood for Jesus, for Buddha, for Zarathustra. Why not a star? Some bright star shines somewhere in the heavens each time a child is born. Who knows what it may foretell? Who knows what uncommon life may yet again unfold if we but give it a chance?
Now again, will you rise if able and sing the first Noel? Be seated.
Thank you. This is from a story by Karen Anderson. It's called Ding-a-ling-a-ling. When I was a child, one of the things that always fascinated me about the holiday season were the Salvation Army Christian buckets. At the time, I knew nothing about Salvation Army theology, only that they worked for the homeless and destitute. They became my symbol of generosity for the season, albeit bucket-sized. As an adult, I often felt an odd pull to ring the bell myself. One year, I gave in. I called up the lieutenant at the local Salvation Army and asked enthusiastically if they were in need of help. They were. I was given two assignments. I couldn't wait to get my hands on that little tinkly bell. The first assignment was a busy street corner with a bookstore and a coffee shop on either side. I rang my ding-a-ling-y bell in 10-degree weather with glee, stamping my feet periodically to stay warm. My smart bucket swung slightly in the breeze. It was an experience just as I had hoped. People asked me if I was warm enough. A couple bought me coffee. Many smiled and simply wished me happy holidays as they passed. I marveled at the parade of dime donors and familiar plunk of change that followed. The second assignment was at a mall across from JCPenney's. Once again eager, I itched to start my bell-a-dinging. The lieutenant arrived to set up my bucket. My hands reached for the bell. No bell. He explained, The mall owners have complained. No bells, only this. The sign was attached to a long dowel. On the top of the dowel, two pieces of paper were stapled together over the center of the stick. I had now had to flip the sign to read ding dong. My little bucket instantly lost its ting-a-ling. My enthusiasm waned. I flipped in silent motion. It seemed absurd. But I went to work. People rushed past each other, mired in that Christmas hubbub that leans toward frustration, not joy. Then they'd spot me. Their faces would contort, scrunching up into laughter, and that uncomfortable feeling when you're embarrassed and humored by someone at the same time. They would often throw in some dimes and say, "Happy holidays," barely able to stifle yet another awkward, justifiable smirk. I fought hard not to feel like the sign was projecting my mental state to the mall community. For 4 hours, I flipped the sign. That is. 10 minutes before I was to quit, this fellow in a black cowboy hat and boots and a 10-gallon hat walked up to me and laughed. He was full-out chuckles, bent over, hysterically laughing. I stood taller, flipping my sign with increased vigor. I couldn't tell where he was going with this. When he finally stood up for air, his eyes were smiling. So I hoped for no malicious intent. But I was ready to kick him in the shins for his reaction to me and my now stupid sign. Then he said, "I must say, I've never seen a sign like that before." Anybody that stands with a sign that says ding dong must be duly rewarded. He reached into his back pocket and retrieved his wallet. Crisp bills laid neatly in uniform order. He ran through fives, tens, and twenties, and got to a row of fifties. He pulled one out, a 50. He neatly folded the bill and squeezed it into the bucket designed for coin donors. Nodding, he smiled right into my eyes and muttered, "Well, I never." Then he continued on through the mall with laughter that hung captive in the air like lingering pipe smoke. I, on the other hand, began to turn the sign with renewed vigor. I looked at each passerby with a new attitude, whether they snickered or smiled, donated or not. I now felt strangely in awe of my ding-dong sign. I was unabashedly proud that I was stupid enough to stand in a mall tenaciously flipping a sign, waiting for humor and generosity to awaken someone's humdrum spirit, waiting for it to finally dawn on me that my gifts of generosity and time needed to lose their pretenses in order for any true generosity to occur, waiting just to discover that this season can still thrill and surprise. Waiting for magic, only to find that the red buckets held it all the time, even without the ding-a-ling.
Keeping in the spirit, we rise, if you're willing and able, to join in singing Deck the Halls. Be seated. Carla. At this time, we will collect a special offering for the Members Assistance Fund. This is a fund that helps right here in our church locally, people throughout the year who are in need. The minister is usually the discretionary person on this, I believe. Anyway, dig deep.
Thank you. the Christmas holiday season frequently in this country and other countries brings a battle sometimes with people that don't want it to be about Christ and some that want it to be. And they argue whether it should be, you should be using Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays when you greet somebody. Thanks to my wife's assistance, I came along a different approach to this that occurred a few years back in Dayton, Ohio. A Cincinnati lawyer's plot to came to naught when his hopes to dash Christmas came before Judge Susan DeLotte. In fact, DeLotte, a federal judge, used a 9-stanza poem influenced by Dr. Seuss's favorite, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, to demolish and dismiss Richard Galunas' argument that the establishment of Christ's birthday as a national holiday violates the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment mandate that government and religion remain separated. Christmas, the judge said in her more formally written opinion accompanying this poem, has become a secularized public holiday, and the U.S. Supreme Court has long recognized that inescapable fact. When the government decides to recognize Christmas Day as a public holiday, it does no more than accommodate the calendar of public activities to the plain fact that many Americans will expect on that day to spend time visiting with their families, attending religious services, and perhaps enjoying some respite from pre-holiday activities. Ganulin, I can't pronounce it, and his family have the freedom to celebrate or not celebrate the religious and the secular aspects of the holiday as they see fit. The court simply does not believe that declaring Christmas to be a legal public holiday impermissibly imposes Christian beliefs on non-adherents in a way that violates the right to freedom of association. In her more poetic reply, DeLotte wrote, this is DeLotte's decision, the court will address plaintiff's seasonal confusion, erroneously believing Christmas merely a religious intrusion. Whatever the reason, constitutional or other, Christmas is not an act of Big Brother. Christmas is about joy and giving and sharing. It is about the child within us. It is mostly about caring. One is never jailed for not having a tree, for not going to church, for not spreading glee. The court will uphold seemingly contradictory causes, decreeing the establishment and Santa both worthwhile clauses. We're all better for Santa, the Easter Bunny too, and maybe the Great Pumpkin, to name just a few. An extra day off is hardly high treason. It may be spent as you wish, regardless of reason. The court, having read the lessons of Lynch, refuses to play the role of the Grinch. There is room in this country, and all our hearts too, for different convictions and a day off too.
You may rise now, and we'll sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world,
You may be seated.
This is a poem by Dr. Maya Angelou. Amazing Peace, a Christmas poem. Thunder rumbles in the mountain passes, and lightning rattles the eaves of our houses. Floodwaters await in our avenues. Snow falls upon snow. Falls upon snow, falls upon snow to avalanche our overprotected or underprotected villages. The sky slips low and gray and threatening. We question ourselves. What have we done to so affront nature? We worry, God, are you there? Are you there really? Does the covenant you made with us still hold? Into this climate of fear and apprehension, Christmas enters, streaming lights of joy, ringing bells of hope, and singing carols of forgiveness high up in the bright air. The world is encouraged to come from rancor, come the way of friendship. It is the glad season. Thunder ebbs to silence, and lightning sleeps quietly in the corner. Floodwaters recede into memory. Snow becomes a yielding cushion to aid us as we make our way to higher ground. Hope is born again in the faces of children. It rides on the shoulders of our aged as they walk into their sunsets. Hope spreads around the earth, brightening all things. Even hate, which crouches breeding in dark corners, in our joy, we think we hear a whisper. At first, it is too soft. Then, only half heard, we listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness, and the word is peace. It is loud now. It is louder. Louder than the explosion of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by its presence. It is what we have hungered for. Not just the absence of war, but true peace. A harmony of spirit. A comfort of courtesies. Security for our beloveds. And their beloveds, and their beloveds. We clap hands and welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon this good season to wait a while with us. We, Baptist, Buddhist, Methodist, Muslim, say come. Come, you use, to peace. Come and fill us in our world with your majesty. We, the Jew and the Jaintist, the Catholic, the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us so we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. It is Christmas time, a halting of time and a halting of hate at times. On this platform of peace, we can create a language to translate ourselves to ourselves and to each other. At this holy instant, some celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the great religions of the world. We jubilate the precious advent of trust. We shout with glorious tongues at the coming of hope. All the earth's tribes loosen their voices to celebrate the promise of peace. We, angels and mortals, believers and non-believers, look heavenward and speak the word aloud. Peace. We look at our world and speak the world aloud again. Peace. We look at each other and then into ourselves, and we say without shyness or apology or hesitation, peace, my brother. Peace, my sister. Peace, my soul.
We rise and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. Be seated. At this time, we will have candles distributed throughout our candle distributors. you can come up. Once you have the candle, there will be a cardboard circle. If it's not already attached, attach it thus. So we will have it like this. When everybody has their candle and they're ready, we will form a circle around the wall. So when you get it, you can kind of. We will light the candle. And Bob and I will show you how you're supposed to light it. The person who has the flame must hold it upright. And the person taking the light, right, will turn thus and get the light, and then the next person, and so on until everybody has the light. So as soon as you have your candle and it's all assembled, you may gather round.
Sure.
May the light around us guide our footsteps and hold us fast to the best and most righteous that we seek. May the darkness around us nurture our dreams and give us rest so that we may give ourselves to the work of our world. Let us seek to remember the wholeness of our lives, the weaving of light and shadow in this great and astonishing dance in which we move. Go in peace.